Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They went into the house and they saw the child with his mother, Mary. They fell down and they worshiped him. Opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed back to their own country. I just imagine what it was like to witness that prophecy fulfilled right in front of your own eyes and to be so overwhelmed with joy, to be so overwhelmed in awe of the presence of God that you fall down and you give him the best of you. But we don't have to imagine that. Because of Jesus and what he did for us, we can fall down every single time. We can give him the best of us every single day. Because we have the opportunity to be intimate with him, to see him, to feel him, to experience him. Father God, I just thank you for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. We love you. Jesus, we love you. We fall down in awe of you. We worship you. We give you our best. We give you all of us. We just pray, Lord God, that your presence would be felt in this room, that your anointing would fall, that we would feel what you are doing, that we would be intimate with you, we would be face to face with you, we would feel you, know you. Just pray as we head into a time of word, Lord God, that your word would fall on our ears, would plant in our heart, and it would bear good fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Well, good morning. Like I said earlier, my name is Chantel, and I am so grateful to welcome you to church this morning. It is my pleasure and my honor to introduce to you our speaker this morning, someone who is familiar with Case. Would you please welcome Pastor Matt Joy?
Well, good morning, everybody. What an honor to be back. And I am a huge Christmas fan, all right? So the closer we get, yes, there's a to-do list. There's things that got to be picked up, places you got to be. But I embrace all of it because Christmas is truly the most wonderful time of the year. I'm all about it. So in a room like this or listening online, we probably have two camps of people at any given point. One that says, peace is possible. Like my story, my experience, my hope, my faith has brought me to this place where I can tell you, you can find peace. There might be another camp simultaneous to that that says, is peace possible because of everything that's going on inside externally? I mean, you don't have to look very far in your Apple News feed or even your social media feed to see even the external reality of our world right now is at war. And the actions of war, the thoughts of war, that chaos. Well, thank you so much, my brother. The external world that we look around and see can cause us to feel this anxiety and sense of dread because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Sometimes it's closer to home. It's right there in your own heart, your own thoughts, your own experiences causing you to wonder, where is that peace that we speak about, that we sing about, that we hear about? Maybe it's turmoil inside your home or inside your family relationships that cause you to ask that question, is peace possible? Well, I love that even just halfway through this morning, we heard a prophecy from hundreds of years before Jesus' birth from the prophet Isaiah that looked ahead and said, there is coming one who will be called Prince of Peace. So if that is your longing, and if it's not today, God bless this moment in your life. There will come a time when you'll search for peace, when you will need peace in a situation or in, again, the depths of your own heart and soul where you can, no matter what's going on around you, feel this sense of security in him. That's what he brings. So as we are in the second Sunday of Advent, Advent comes from a Latin word that means coming, Adventus, where we look ahead. We anticipate the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus, even as that first Christmas, right? And Chantel just brought us there through the wise men's perspective. We anticipate this season as that for our lives. Maybe it's multiple decades you've been doing this. You've been journeying through Advent. You've been anticipating and just your faith coming alive again. Maybe this is the first time you've stepped into this story. But I pray that today that peace would settle on your heart and your mind as we look to Scripture, as we look to God's Word today, that no matter what's going on or what you're feeling about the world around you or the world inside of you, that you would walk away with the sense of God's peace. The Prince of Peace has a name today. One of the pieces that block that peace from our lives is distraction. One of the things that keep us away from that place of peace is distraction. And I want to tell you a little funny story. One of my most embarrassing moments to bring you to highlight distraction today. It was in the midst of one of those days where your to-do list was longer than your hours, right? And I was coming home from work. Work should have been left at work, but I was, you know, thinking of all the things I didn't get to. And more importantly for my personality, the people that I didn't get to and the calls that I didn't make that I said I was going to make. So on the way home from work, I'm still making calls. And I'm in the middle of a call with someone who is battling through one of their biggest struggles. So I want to give them my full attention. But then I realize my gas light is on. So I'm already overflowing from work and my commitments, and I'm on this phone trying to be fully present to the call, and I realize I need gas. I'm not going to make it home. So I pull into the gas station. The phone is legal. It's coming through my system. Okay, so we're all good there. But as I pull into the gas, the fuel pump, I park. I take the phone out with me, which again, I guess probably shouldn't do, but I did. And I'm continuing this conversation, trying to be fully present to it and the person while pumping my gas. And obviously the conversation, because of the nature of it, just gets deeper and deeper. So I'm more present to the person, and I get back in my vehicle. I start my vehicle once I've filled up my vehicle. And there was one piece that I missed in my distraction. I forgot to put that nozzle back in the pump. So thankfully, this is a fairly recent story because technology has changed. And I found out about my error and my distraction by driving and hearing this clank, clank, clank along the side of my vehicle, wondering what was up, and then the embarrassing looks that I was getting from everybody else, smiling and pointing to the side of my vehicle. Thankfully, the technology has changed so that when the hose was pulled out, nothing leaked, nothing. It was like a suction. So that was quite a relief for me. Anyway, I went through a big process. But I wanted to share that, just again, one of those things where that is the epicenter of some moments in my life where I just say yes to so much that I'm so distracted that I don't know if I'm fully present to either one of the pieces. Distraction can keep us from peace. It can. And I want to speak to that a little bit today. I know I'm not the only one that wrestles with that, where your attention can be divided in any given day or any given season. And distraction is at the root of much of our hurry. And hurry is a thief of joy and our peace. In Forbes magazine, Kurt Steinhurst said, distraction at its core is this, confusion about what matters. Sit on that one for a little bit. Let that sink in. Confusion about what matters. Distraction robs us again of that joy and peace that comes when our focus is in the right place. This, the second Sunday of Advent, points to a peace in our waiting and in our anticipating. In that same way that distraction can be a thief of it, our attention can be a catalyst for peace when it's in the right direction and focused on the right thing. So I want to bring us back to that original Christmas narrative where some of the main characters that are at the epicenter of that narrative connect heaven and earth for us, where the supernatural invades the natural and the collision of the two leads to the shift in focus and a peace that's not able to be matched. The poet Mary Oliver writes, attention is the beginning of devotion. Attention is the beginning of devotion. This is the invitation that Advent and the coming of Christ offers every single one of us, to resist the pull to have our attention divided so much that we miss the center of it all, that we no longer find ourselves in awe of Jesus and his story of his arrival and the fact that it changes everything for us. So again, the invitation is to resist that temptation to be distracted, to be divided in terms of our attention, but also even more than the resistance is an invitation to reorient our lives by focusing our attention on the Christ child, on God who graciously brought heaven to earth, and the truth that that does change everything for every single one of us who would focus our attention in that way. With insight into our wiring and our wandering, God sends messengers, angels, in the middle of the Christmas story. Throughout that Christmas story, with reminders and signs and this comforting guidance in the first Advent, and we wonder what that might have been like without those heavenly messengers, because it was what awoke those individuals, those main characters of that original Christmas narrative, to that this isn't natural. This is God coming near. This is prophecy being fulfilled. This is something that is not generated from the human perspective. So again, he sends these messengers, and the audience that they sought out and the implications of their message matters even to today in 2023. So I want to take us through a journey of Luke's gospel, and we're going to stop in three different points in the middle of the Christmas story that brings that highlight of these messages from heaven to the individuals in the middle of the Christmas story and what it could mean to us here today. So the first stop is Zechariah. So if you have your scripture with you today, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. If you don't, you can see it on the screens as we journey through this together in a moment. Imagine wanting something so badly for so long. Some of you don't have to imagine. You know exactly right now, as soon as I say that, you think of a time in your life, maybe even right now, when you long for something so badly. You knew it was something only God could make happen, but you also believed that he would do it. Then weeks pass, months pass, perhaps even years, still waiting, and doubts crash down the walls of faith, and you're left to reconcile dreams deferred and hopes dashed without answers to your why. You feel like you've asked all the right questions, you've sought in the right direction, and yet this dream is deferred, and you're left asking why. Meet Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were the picture of faithfulness, doing and living right in the eyes of God and in the eyes of their peers. Zechariah even served as a priest in the temple faithfully. But the dream of being parents went unfulfilled. This obviously wasn't a mark of punishment or judgment, but Elizabeth felt disgrace in the context of their culture and the community as a barren woman and spouse. She felt that. Decades of prayer unanswered, at least not how they had envisioned this, but held in tension with this faithfulness. The God, I may not have all the answers, I may not understand why, but I'm going to keep doing what I know to do in serving you and being faithful to the call that you've placed on our lives. And in the context of serving his priestly duties, an angel shows up to bring a message to Zechariah from God. Verses 11 says, "While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar." Verse 12, "Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah.'" You'll hear that as a common refrain as heaven meets earth. Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Just pause for a second. God has heard your prayer. So even before he finds out what happens next, Zechariah, in your years of waiting, in your years of questioning and wondering why, in the months when you couldn't figure it out and you're wondering, is this ever going to... God has heard your prayer, even in the waiting. I love that. God has heard your prayer. "Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many people will rejoice at his birth." God was preparing time and space for the coming of his son, his plan of rescue for everybody, and that plan included Zechariah and Elizabeth's dream coming true. Not on their time, certainly, not in their way, certainly, but in a way that undeniably shouted through their waiting and through their wanting, "God has heard your prayer." They didn't know it all along the way, but then they discovered it. God has heard your prayer. Your son will be instrumental in preparing the way for God's son and the plan of redemption for the world. When we lean into what we don't have or what isn't happening, or what we think should be happening, our peace can take a hit. That distraction can take a hit, cause our peace to take a hit. The angel Gabriel showed up to Zechariah with this joy-inducing truth, with a peace that passes understanding. Don't be afraid. That awakens us to reposition our attention from what isn't, what's not going our way, what's not going according to our plan, to who is present, who hears us in our prayers. God hears us. He is at work. The next stop that I want to make is Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1 again, verse a little further down, verse 34. What if we were fully present and available to God? We'd likely be stretched a little bit outside our comfort zone, seeing more of heaven touching earth if we lived in this way. His will coming on earth as it is in heaven would be more of our reality if we lived more fully present and available to God. And the awareness, with our attention being captivated by God himself. The plan of the first advent didn't make much sense. Read in a book, heard in a tale, let alone to Mary in that moment, the virgin in the middle of her engagement in her context. And Mary asked the angel in verse 34, how can this happen? This doesn't make sense. I am a virgin. Verse 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. This isn't, again, made of man. This is heaven coming to earth. What's more, your relative Elizabeth, who we just heard about, has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. As outrageous as this seems, as much as this is going to push me into a zone where I might be misunderstood, where I might be even shamed in my obedience, if you say it's going to be so, God, I'm all in. If this is your plan, I am your servant. Let it be. What powerful obedience and availability. That ought to stir our hearts today. I'm not sure what echoes through the centuries louder, the audacity of God in terms of a script that we would never write or think about, or the obedience of Mary. And again, there's something about those two coming together that's quite powerful. The audacity of God to do above and beyond what we could ever ask or think in your life, in this church, in our city, or the obedience of people who say, yes, let it be. That's the dream I want to step into. That's what I want to be a part of. Let it be, God. The angel declares God is coming near and that he is using obscure humanity to bring a long-awaited message of hope and joy and peace and love. Let the summation of the angel Gabriel come alive in our hearts today. Nothing, no thing is impossible with God. What a great catalyst for peace in your heart and your mind today. God, nothing is outside of your reach. Nothing outside of your control. No measure of your own obscurity or insecurity is able to restrict God. But what does our attention say about our own availability to him? Because you can embrace all that will spark anxiety and spark doubt and all those things. You can embrace those things. In our humanity, we often do, and we find ourselves feeling that lack of peace that stirs us. And maybe it's just that refocusing that will stir our hearts again to embrace peace and faith. And again, all that Advent has, love, joy, hope, and peace. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be as you say. This can fill your cup today. What if true peace, the life we long for, is on the other side of us believing that nothing is impossible with God and offering ourselves as Mary did? I am your servant, God. Do as you say. Do as you say through my life. The third stop that I want to make is in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. As Jesus' birth story begins to unfold in Bethlehem, the presence of the angel shows up on a hillside with those on the outskirts of society in every way, the outcasts. The last, if you were writing a script based on the times and the culture of the day and heaven was coming to earth, these would probably be the last to find out in terms of their place in society. And yet God says, I need to make a point here. I'm going to go to the uttermost ends of your culture, to the often overlooked, to speak this message of hope. And here's what the angel says: "Fear not again, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, no one left out." I love out on the lobby wall, "No perfect people allowed." It's just this embrace of, listen, you don't have it together, you belong, right? This is the message of the angels to the shepherds. You people might have labeled you a certain way. Your position in this society, in this culture, may have kept you on the outskirts or on the margins. But heaven says, good news of great joy, yours. Got your name on it, right? No matter what your story is or what your place is, it's beautiful. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, peace. Like, is there a better message of peace that everybody is available to receive it? Peace among those with whom he's pleased. The angels inform the shepherds and remind us that Jesus is God, telling us that the core of the Christian faith is that this good news that will bring great joy is for all people. That's why we exist. That's why we proclaim. That's why we invest. That's why we show up. No one, absolutely no one, excluded from the reach of this message of hope and peace. In the same way that we are all longing for deep peace, we are all eligible for deep peace. That's the beauty of Christmas and Advent. If our journey of faith is lacking in peace, if we have more questions than answers, if the path isn't all that we expected it to be, if we feel God is distant and silent today, may we hear the angels bring us back to what God has already spoken on the first Advent. When you feel there's an absence of communication, we can always go back to what we know is true. At the very first Christmas, that there is good news of great joy for your life, for your circle, for our city. And what he spoke was not just words, but what John calls the word a little later in another gospel. When you wonder what God has to say in your now, look to what he has said back in Bethlehem, because it still resonates with relevance. It was, is, and will always be Jesus, the Prince of Peace, for your life, for mine. Maybe you felt left out of the good news today, that it's not possible for it to be true for your story, that this good news would spark joy and bring lasting peace and is for all people. Well, Jesus is what God has to say, and he said it for you today. It will change your peace quotient this season if you allow it to your attention to shift off of external realities, off of, you know, what you're feeling in the moment, to the truth of what God has had to say to us in Jesus. So about that today, as we kind of bring this back to your world and my world, what about our attention? Like, if you were to do an attention audit of your life, just look back over the last 7 days even, since you were here last or wherever you were last weekend, and you look ahead and back over the last 7 days, and you did an attention audit, the hours, the gaze, your time, where you've been present. Hurry and distraction has robbed us of some of our peace. So how about a pulse check on your level of hurry today? Again, I do this not obviously to bring any guilt or shame or condemnation, but just to awaken us that maybe the lack of peace is tied to how hurried our souls are, how hurried our lives are. Author and pastor John Mark Comer offers this test for us to consider how affected we are by hurry and our misdirected attention. So I'm going to run through just a quick list, and I just want you to do this internal audit of, like, check, this applies to me, and just let this settle for a moment. Track how many of these symptoms resonate with your life right now. Number one, irritability, where you get mad and frustrated or annoyed way too easily. Is that a mark of you right now? hypersensitivity, where it might just take a minor comment, a grumpy email, or a small turn of events to set you off or to hurt your feelings. Restlessness, when you try to slow down and relax, but you can't rest. Your body may be stationary, but your mind and your heart is just continually not at a place of rest. 4, workaholism or nonstop activity. 5, emotional numbness, where you don't have the capacity to feel somebody else's pain or to be present to somebody else in empathy. 6, out of order priorities, where you feel disconnected from your identity and your calling, where you're always in the tyranny of the urgent and you feel like you're missing the most important things. 7, maybe it's a lack of care for your body, where you're not enough time for good sleep or exercise or healthy eating. 8, escapist behaviors. When you're not doing what is good for our bodies and souls, we turn to a distraction of choice a lot of times. That might be binging a streaming service, browsing social media, surfing the web, pornography, overeating, alcohol, drugs. Maybe that's a warning sign for you in the midst of hurry. 9, a slippage of spiritual disciplines. So not just presence of habits that aren't helpful, but the lack of habits and disciplines that are helpful. Things that are good for your soul can often be the first to go when your attention is misdirected, like scripture reading, prayer, Sabbath rest, meals in community, quiet time, solitude. And then lastly, isolation. Maybe you feel disconnected from God, from others, maybe even from your own soul. There feels like an internal disconnect. So obviously rhetorical, but how'd you score? Think through, like, how many of those resonate with where you are right now in your life? And to the degree that you've said yes to those symptoms might be the degree to which you are screaming for peace, longing for peace. Breathe today. You're not alone. And again, not in any way for shame or judgment, but awareness. Listen to what your soul and your heart are longing for and saying to you today. You're not alone, and there is an antidote connected back to that first Christmas and to those angelic appearances that we visited today in the text. And here's what the angels remind us through these appearances on that first Christmas, that the depth of my peace hinges on the focus of my attention. That the depth of my peace and my ability to truly be at rest, regardless of what's going on in our global community, what's going on in terms of my family dynamics, even the pressures and stress that I'm personally facing, that I could be at rest, hinges on where my attention is. Find peace in those messages that we heard today to drive us to refocus our attention this Advent. As we heard the angel speak to Zechariah, God hears you in your waiting. Stay faithful. Know God is at work even when you can't see it. Stay present to Him. Stay obedient. Even when you're not getting the answers that you feel you should be getting, or in the timing that you feel you should be getting them, He has heard your prayer. The angel to Zechariah reminds us of that today. God hears you in your waiting. Secondly, we look to Mary and we see God is not restricted by our story. Even when things don't make sense or seem to be outside of our comfort zone or outside of the reality that we're facing in that moment, that God can do the impossible. That God is able to break in, and it might be the fact that you represent somebody or a friend or family member that you'd love to experience the peace of God and the hope of salvation in Jesus. And it feels like such a distant dream or reality. But don't give up on that dream. Like, God is reminding us today in this Advent that He's not restricted by those pieces, by what we think is reality. He's not restricted by that in the natural. When God picked Mary to be the very life that would bring the light of the world, He declared nothing is impossible, no restriction too great that his presence couldn't break through. And today, you are a candidate as well to experience that presence of God and to have him work in your life and through your life. He's not restricted by your story, your past, your present, your character, your Enneagram number. He's not restricted by any of it, right? He's able. And then thirdly, Jesus is what God has to say to you this Christmas and what he has to say to your family and what he has to say to this world. When you aren't sure, when you can't understand the seeming silence of heaven, when you feel like you're on the margins looking in from the outside, when you are in your time of waiting, you can and we must go back to the center of Christmas to hear loud and clear what God has to say to you and your situation, that he loved you enough to come near, that he loved you enough to come near with a Savior, that we do not need to stay in our sin, that we can be restored, that we can experience new life and new beginnings, that the impossible is possible. And because Jesus is what God has to say to you, all of that peace is possible. So let's step into Monday for a moment. Sometimes it's a little easier to hear and resonate on a Sunday morning. Let's go to Monday for a moment. Going back to John Mark Comer, I wanted to share this quote with you. He says, so many people live without a sense of God's presence through the day. We talk about his absence as if this is a great question of theodicy, like where is God? And I get that. I've been through the dark night of the soul, but could it be that with a few set exceptions, we're the ones who are absent, not God? We sit around, we're sucked into our phones or TV or to-do lists, oblivious to the God who is around us, with us, in us, even more desirous than we are for relationship. Wow. I hope that compels you towards him, not away from him. That maybe it's my absence that's causing the lack of peace. Maybe it's my attention being misdirected. And that if I were to redirect and give him my full heart, mind, soul, and body, that I could experience the richness of this relationship again, so that nothing, again, no other factor could take it away. That I could experience the Prince of Peace in my Mondays, in my Tuesdays. God wants to be the source of your peace today. Whether you've been following Jesus for years or you're just hearing the good news for the first time, he wants to be your source of peace. That's awesome news. There isn't a purchase you can make this Christmas. There isn't a list of do's and don'ts that you have to accomplish or something you have to earn in order to receive him today. He has done all that was needed for you to know peace. Through his humble birth, this humble birth story, and the subsequent death and resurrection of this, our Savior, God drew and is drawing our attention to him over and over and over again. Jesus is what God has to say, and the depth of my peace hinges on the focus of my attention. The depth of my peace. I'm going to invite Perry and Sherry to come back today. And I just ask you, what if this Christmas, this week, this day, we pause to focus our attention again, not on a what, but on a who, on the Prince of all peace. I want us to take the initiative to be fully present to God, who has made himself present to us in Jesus. So if you're honest with yourself, when you think through that whole assessment of how hurried my life and my soul is this Christmas, 2023, let's live in right now. Let's be present to this moment. Am I experiencing the peace of God? And if that's a no or not to the degree that you long for, this is an incredible moment to refocus our attention. To say, God, you're the Prince of Peace. You're the source of my hope and my joy. Here's my heart again. Speak to me. What dreams do you have for my life? I'm not just here to suck air and to punch in and punch out. You're not even here to show up on a Sunday and just leave again. Like, even this community, you're called to be a part of something that God wants to do that's above and beyond what you could ask or think or imagine. What could that look like for you and your life? And I think in that place of peace, we begin to dream again. that place of just feeling secure in Him. We're free to be who we are and who He's wired us to be. Not by accident, but on purpose, with full attention. God, I'm your servant. Do as you will. So I want us to pause in this moment to begin that. I hope it continues into your afternoon and your Monday and in your whole Advent season, that this Christmas could be a refocusing for your heart and your life. Can we stand in this room today if you're able? So God, right through this room and listening online, I pray your peace would settle on hearts and minds. We stand on your word. We stand on the original Christmas narrative that guides this Christmas for us. We acknowledge our need to refocus our attention, to not expect peace to come from Netflix. We acknowledge, Lord, that peace will not come even from the people we love the most. That the peace that we're longing for has one source, and it's you. We thank you for Jesus. And that you loudly said that peace is available to every single one of us because of the Prince of Peace. So I pray for every single heart and mind in this room, even for those facing real threats of peace, real turmoil, who are experiencing real anxiety about what's happening in our world. I ask, God, that you would break through those feelings and barriers and just be present in the midst of that, bringing a peace and a calm and an assurance, Lord, that prayers are heard, an assurance of the fact that you're with us, that you'd never leave us. Let it settle in this room and all over online, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Pastor Matt Joy, for coming and blessing us again, taking time away from your busy schedule in this busy season. And I do feel like that was such a timely word, of course, for this season. So, like we do with every service, I want to leave you guys with the priestly blessing. If you know it, you can say it with me. If you want to receive it, just hold out your hands. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Don't forget to stop by the Hub and talk to us after the service. And we have refreshments in the lounge. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.